This is Drunk on Comics, episode 129, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com and the home of the entertainment flasks. That'll do it, guys. All right. We'll see you next week.
We're done already?
That was quick.
We just didn't record anything. Holy shit. When listeners hear the intro and now this, they're going to be really pissed.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. And hope you enjoy those free winning lottery ticket numbers, the free digital download codes that we gave out, and the secret to life. Yeah.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Just recorded our whole show.
Oh.
Kevin, why do you have a monster on your hat?
Okay. Why not?
I don't know. Maybe to get it away from the table so I stop playing with it during the show.
Yeah, but now
we have this table here filled with all sorts of toys, and I always have to have something in my hands. And
one-eyed monster.
You see that movie called One-Eyed Monster?
No.
Yeah, it has a Ron Jeremy cameo in it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, well, this is Drunk on Comics, and I'm Derek.
Kevin. Hi.
Tony.
And, yeah, we're going to talk about comics, and, you know, for the new people, we're going to talk about some news. Kevin's going to open his really loud comic book bag with the self-sealing.
Hey, you know, I forgot to do that while we were talking about the funny books.
we'll talk about some other random shit along the way. I'll walk while quaffing a few brews.
What? Quaffing? What?
You never quaffed some brews?
Oh, I'm thinking like queefing.
No, that's...
I've never heard of quaffing.
No. Oh, drinking some brews?
It's an old-timey thing back in the 1800s, they used to say.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something like fancy, like masticating.
That's not what I was thinking you were going to say.
Well, typically what I say is usually lame and not funny, so...
I'm going to masticulate the shit out of my dinner today.
All right. All right, man. So we got our first segment for the new guys would be Off the Shelf, where we talk about some new books that came out this week or relatively recently.
What about for the old guys?
Eh.
Thanks, guys.
Hey. We appreciate you coming back.
Yeah. Lord knows I wouldn't. No.
you don't like good things?
I do like good things. In fact, I love good things. And this week, I think the best thing that was out there was The Woods number 8 from Boom Studios. How do you like that for a transition? Ha-ha!
Okay.
Boom! Drop the mic.
Yeah. All right. So, no, this is written by James Tynion IV. Art on this is Michael Diolinis, and colors were Josan Gonzalez. Could be Hosan, I don't know. I apologize, but this book, if people haven't been reading it, this is an ongoing series from Boom, which is kind of rare for them. They're more known for doing short series, but you know this one I think is at least planned to go up into the 30s for issues. The basic idea is that there's a high school that was in Wisconsin, if I remember correctly. That everyone's in school and all of a sudden they go to, and their entire high school has been transported from Wisconsin to the middle of these creepy, weird woods where there's monsters and all these other things happening. And so it's kind of a survival story, but you're following...
Coming-of-age story.
There's a little bit of that in there, too. But you're following this group of kids... The teachers that think that they know, you know, that well, this is how we're going to do it. You get the one bad teacher in there who he's going to start running things like a dictatorship, and he gets the jocks and stuff to kind of be his police. And, there's a bunch of different elements that are happening here. The reason I really wanted to talk about this is that this issue in particular has a lot of, like, flashbacks to, you know, a year previous when everything was just normal. And the thing that I liked about it is that Tinian has done a really nice job here as far as giving these characters who were still just learning who they are, because there's a lot of them in here, but he's giving them good reason to have acted the way that they have for the first eight issues. And so I'm able to go back and look at some of these older issues and go, wow, it really makes sense why, you know, person went from point A to point B and didn't choose this path instead, type of thing. And I think it's just a very well-crafted comic, both from the writing standpoint. And the art in here is actually really beautiful. And the colors on top of it, I think, are one of the things that really separate this book from, you know, the rest of the pack that's out there. So I don't want to spoil a lot in here. And there's a lot going on, but
So you're just going to spoil a little?
Yeah, just a little. Just a little. You know, there's monsters and Vikings and high school kids and, like, magic, if you will. I'm not really sure, like, exactly what it is, but, you know, and it deals with a lot. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, a couple kids that are dealing with their sexuality in here as well, which there's your coming-of-age portion. In here, and it's interesting because you're starting for the first time to see a villain appear, like a real villain,
like not just the monsters,
right? Like people, you're like, okay, here's going to be your antagonist, and it wasn't something that I necessarily saw coming.
Is it an alien?
I'm not going to spoil it.
Is it a person?
I'm not going to spoil it. It's a tree.
Is it a tree? Yeah. Yeah, this is where the book The Trees Come From.
Yeah, well, it's the woods. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, this is just overall really nice book. And even though it's issue eight and it's in the middle of a story arc and everything else, I think you can actually pick this book up and just run with it. There's a lot going on, and yeah, you're gonna have a lot of questions, but. You know, if you can't find the first seven issues, I say screw it. Still grab issue eight and just pick it up, because this is one of those where I know a lot of times if I had not picked it up and I saw issue eight sitting on the stands, I'd never give it a shot. But this one definitely deserves it. So go grab it, and you can hang out with Dr. Robot.
I tell you, that's a nice cover. I really like the detail to this. I don't know what it is. It's a cross between a mogwai and a spider.
It's like a monkey. It's like a four-armed, two-legged monkey.
Yeah, that's...
That's Dr. Robot, actually.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's...
Where's the price on this?
Yeah, it's $4.
Because Dr. Cheapskate's got to know.
Yeah, no, this is a... But these... These are fairly thick books. I mean, you're getting a lot of pages, and like I said, I mean, those colors are fantastic too. So, yeah, give it a shot, guys. Who's got what next?
Well, something that I didn't necessarily have on my poll, but I was going to pick up regardless, and my shop just put it in my poll, was Thanos versus Hulk, which is a four-part miniseries, written and penciled by Jim Starlin. Andy Smith was the inker, and Frank DiAmarta was the color artist. And it, for me, I'm kind of like, okay, where is this taking place? Well, good thing they have the editor's note to let me know when this takes place, which it's a very specific time. It's before Thanos Infinity Revelation happened, but it's also before or during the time that Bruce Banner was working for S.H.I.E.L.D. So in those books... Like, I don't know, maybe beginning of last year when he was... Because you were reading them then.
What ones?
Hulk, when he was working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
And had kind of like that augmented suit and everything.
Yeah. So it's roughly in that. Now, is it before Bruce Banner took the shower and the water got hot and he hulked out, or is it after he had dinner?
You know, I think they're going to probably be more specific in the next one to tell me exactly when this happened.
Okay.
But for me...
Thank you for pointing that out, because honestly, like, I only read the summary at the top of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Yeah, and then the... Because I skipped it over.
I mean, when you're also reading this, too, like, you have Tony Stark being the old Iron Man, so you're knowing that this isn't really happening in the now with the superior Iron Man. So I am glad that they kind of told us when this happened. I don't know, continuity-wise and everything, it's like, well, I can look at this as a lost tale, so I can read it and be happy for hearing the story, but I kind of like being stuff more relevant. And if this has no repercussions on what's happening now in the Marvel Universe, what's the point, kind of?
Well, maybe it does.
Ooh, and maybe it will be revealed in part 4. But besides that, it's a pretty decent book, because what I love is Jim brings back the old Thanos of old, where he's a bad guy, but he's also a thinking bad guy, where he may do something good that will more benefit him later on. He's not just a bloodthirsty Joker-type style, chaotic, I'm just going to kill everyone type person. He's a thinking man. It also brings back Pip the Troll, and he's one of my favorite random characters.
I'm just thinking about I can't remember which freaking book it was that I just read that they had trolls in it.
They're, like, Marvel type? Or?
Yeah, that they were using...
Well, I know he was part of X-Factor for a little while, being their resident teleporter.
Yeah, and they actually do give... Some X-Factor love in this book. Which I thought was kind of...
It was the new Thor book.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a... Anyway.
Yeah. So, back to this, without trying to pretty much place so much emphasis on this story, ultimately, Bruce Banner gets kidnapped by Blastar. He's being brought to Annihilus. Pip is the one that actually kidnapped him, and now Pip realizes he probably shouldn't have done that, so he needs to get out of a bind. So he goes and talks to one of his old Infinity Watch partners, people. As he's sitting at a bar talking about Gamora and Drax, they just so happen to walk in. But then he's like, no, we got to get someone that can really do this job, which is Thanos. Because back in the day, Thanos was a person that was given an Infinity Stone by Adam Warlock, and that's a whole lot of other stuff that happened in continuity-wise of Marvel. So Pip's trying to, you know, ask Thanos for help, and Thanos is kind of like, get the fuck out of here. I lobotomized you once, maybe I should do it again. Don't, you know, test me. But this is where you actually see the old Thanos, where how I feel he's been written recently is he had just killed him for trespassing, for teleporting in there, but Thanos... kind of a little bit of honors, like, all right, we did work together as a team a little bit before. I'll hear you out. All right, you pissed me off. Get the fuck out of here. But then it starts percolating in his mind of, if they have a Hulk, what are they doing with a Hulk? And maybe he should try to figure out why they kidnapped the Hulk. Could that mean something bad for him? Because he knows that him going up against the Hulk would not be good news. Ultimately, it's also cool because it takes a little bit of trip into Bruce Banner's mind, where you see he sits kind of on this planet whenever Hulk takes over, and just sits there and kind of...
Like a planet Hulk?
Yes. But it's just, more or less, it's just a small, I don't know, ball as big as this room that he just sits on while the Hulk takes over. But he is saying that normally he doesn't ever remember it. Normally he's just there. But this time... how Blastar and them took over Hulk, they pretty much knocked him out as well. So Hulk and Bruce is in his mind. And then at the end, Thanos shows up in his mind. So it seems like it's going to be a battle on the Inception level. Yeah. Kevin, your take?
That's how I took it as well. That would be cool for them to actually bust out of the virtual world and... You actually have a physical alteration.
I could see that.
Altercation.
That's probably going to happen. I mean, you're going to see the fight in the mind, and then you'll see a real fight, and then Hulk smash, and team up, probably.
Yeah, I know. That's why I picked this book up, because I want to see Hulk smash. Is that this? But I enjoyed things about this. This really played to me about being an old Marvel 90s guy, because I grew up with the Infinity Crusade and Watch and Gauntlet. So it was kind of, and then I picked up Warlock and the Infinity Watch for first year, 2 years. So it was interesting to see that he's dead.
Yeah, but he's probably going to be resurrected at some point. I mean,
I don't know. How long has he been comic book dead?
I don't know, actually, but yeah, that was when I was reading that, too.
He's a B character, so he'll probably be dead longer than, say, a Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
You know what I'm finding interesting, as I'm flipping through this, is that there seems to be... actually, there's a couple things in here. The artwork from Starlin in here is a weird mix of shit from, like, the 60s through now.
Yeah, well, that's what, reading this, it felt like it was an old book.
It totally did.
This page here with, like, the little heads up above to tell you who's you know, doing what. I just flipped through. They're coming out of a theater. Did you notice the name of the theater is Starlin?
Oh, yeah. And actually, that's not a theater, actually. That's a bar.
Oh, it's
and
a bar?
Someone says, what kind of name is that for a gin place or something? Like, making fun of the name. And I thought that was kind of a...
For a gin joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's... The artwork in this is gorgeous. I mean, it's such a weird combination of decades. Like, I mean, it's just... It's a true amalgamation of all the good shit
from
Silver Age till now.
So that's what where I initially started off this review of, like, is anything good going to come from this? Really, honestly, with everything in it, I was just happy to just kind of read this little nugget from the past, you know, pretend that it was there.
You love nuggets.
I do, especially chicken nuggets, McNuggets. So yeah, so it's definitely worth picking up, especially getting this story, and like you said, the art and just everything of it is reminiscent of anything you grew up with, which is hard to find nowadays in comic books. So
yeah, that's actually it's pretty cool. I'm glad both of you guys picked that up, because I just went ugh, and just walked right by it, and I'm kind of jealous now that I didn't buy it just from the artwork alone. So
I will say one more thing. Unless you have something else to move on. I don't know why. I'm just infatuated with this ad in the book.
Which, yeah,
well, looks like an old-timey ad that you saw from the 60s, like similar to those ads where the person putting the ad in was trying to get kids to buy or sell crap to the friends so they could get a
bike,
X-ray glasses, or something.
BMX bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about? You only need 635 points to get the battleship scale model.
Well, as it says, win this valuable trophy. Be the envy of your friends.
Yeah. What is that ad for? Because it's actually in...
It's in more. It's for, I don't know.
Charles Atlas website.
It's... Or Bob, like
bodybuilding
techniques.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. I don't know.
All right. Cool.
All right. So, all right. Excellent review.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good job. Excellent. All right. Yeah.
Party on, Wayne.
remember that time? All right.
All right. So, those who've listened to the show for a long, long, long time know that back, and I'm going to go back to, say, probably episode teen, in the teens, I reviewed a Simpsons comic book back then.
You did?
I did. I'm bringing to the table Simpsons Illustrated number 14, But Bongo Comics.
That is a chunky monkey.
Yeah, it really is. And honestly, I just saw Simpsons, and like, hey, I haven't picked it up in a while.
Sorry, it's sorry, behind you the scenes shit.
You're cracking me up, Derek. Sorry, folks. But this is my first time picking up a Simpsons, Simpsons book. Whereas the previous books I've ever picked up were kind of like, okay, you have the Simpsons characters, and they're in a really out there scenario, like Bart's in medieval times, and those have been enjoyable books. But this is the first time where I have the Simpsons cast of characters in Springfield, set in Springfield, and talking about stories within their lives in there. So, we have writing by Ian Boothby, pencils by Phil Ortiz, inks by Mike Delcaro, colors by Art Villanueva.
Now, is this one giant story, or are there multiples in here?
So there are three stories.
Okay.
And big surprise, they're all great. now, what I was not expecting with this is that these are all, it's all safe. It's all ages friendly. Whereas I would say with the Simpsons, compared to the Simpsons television show, I think PG.
Yeah.
I think this is almost G. I think the only thing that would make it that would disqualify it from being a G is that there is a part where Krusty pulls out a pack of cigarettes.
So it's like NC-7.
Yeah. But have you guys watched the show recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it's
still enjoyable.
Yeah, it is. I think the writing has improved over the last handful of years. But I'm a big fan of the first 10 seasons. Like, there was a time where I could tell you anything you wanted to know. I watched all the commentaries.
Did you do the Bartman?
Who didn't? Cowabunga, dude.
Eat my shorts. just was that your Maggie?
Yeah.
I'm just mostly curious. Does he still have his little catchphrases, or have they kind of written those out?
If they're ever included, it's
mocking them.
It's mocking themselves.
Yeah, they actually. On a recent episode, they had something like that where they're like, who the hell says something like that?
You're talking about that Family Guy, yeah. Simpsons crossover?
That one, yeah, they made fun of it. I think they made fun of it on another one, too, randomly. But
sure. But, so we're in the big 10-year fan of the show, and what I really enjoyed about this issue, and honestly, I haven't, like I said before, I haven't picked up a whole bunch of these. And all these issues might do the same thing. But they talk a lot about, or they draw in, a lot of the old characters that may have been only used like once or twice. And it's not like they drew new characters. They reused those old characters.
Cool.
And I thought, as a fan of the show, that was real interesting. For instance, and I think it was either the first or the second season. Do you remember the episode where Homer went to a Japanese restaurant and had fugu?
Mm-hmm.
And it was made questionably? Well, those line chefs that were only in there for like a couple of bits and probably haven't been used in the entire television show at all make an appearance in here. And it's... they look completely identical. I mean, those little things, those just made this book a lot more interesting.
So a little bit of fan service, basically.
Oh, total fan service on this. But for those who aren't as an old school Simpsons fan like myself, this is just a very enjoyable read for all ages. I look forward and with great confidence being able to hand this off to anyone at any age and saying, hey, you want an enjoyable read that will definitely make you laugh? This will be it. You don't have to be a Simpsons fan or know about the Simpsons history to appreciate a great, well-told story. I mean, it's obviously it's not deep because it's all in fun. But you get three stories, all very lengthy. I mean, there are hardly any ads in this, and for $3.99, you're getting. I mean, look, feel how heavy that book is.
Yeah, when you handed it to me, I was like, holy shit!
Yeah,
that's got to be. I'm guessing I would not be surprised if that's a 60-page book.
Probably. This is just a lot of fun, and I would encourage. I just flipped to one of my favorite things.
Gross incompetence day.
with incompetence spelled completely
incompetently. Incompetence. There's an H in it. A UH. Yeah.
Yeah. But fan or not, this is just an enjoyable read, and it goes by pretty quickly. There are some Easter eggs in there, which is great. I don't normally pick up on many of them, but maybe it's because I'm such a fan of the show. I might have picked them up a little bit more than the person who's just casually reading this. But definitely, Simpsons Illustrated number 14. This is definitely my best on tap.
Cool.
Or no, what's their segment called? Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just just a little, because I was kind of curious, the other stories that are in here, the second story was written by James Bates. Istvan Majoros did pencils. Mike Rote did inks. Art Villanueva on colors. And the last one, Earl Kress wrote, James Lloyd did pencils, Andrew Peepoy did inks, and Art Villanueva on colors.
No kidding, Peepoy's on that. No kidding.
He does a lot of Simpsons stuff.
No kidding. Honestly, I think the art between all of them, it's all pretty good between all of them. I didn't really notice much of a transition between one or another. Either that, or I was just so engrossed in reading the story and looking for the little things that I guess I didn't really notice. But
see, when you had this open, I was definitely noticing a difference between the first one and the next two.
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess. I'm a moron, so that might have something to do with it.
But you know, and. Yeah, I mean there's slight variations, but I mean that style, you know, that Simpsons style. It's real small things. I mean, like if you like, the biggest noticeable difference for me is actually Peepoy's inks on the third issue.
Okay,
he's just got such fine lines that it's ridiculous watching that guy do what he does. But anyway, cool.
Yeah, man.
I guess that does it for Off the Shelf.
Cool. What's next? I already forget.
Actually, before we go on, I'm gonna shock the shit out of you guys with something.
I like my poop inside me.
Yeah, we like your poop inside you too. I got a best on tap. I got a cover that's gonna make you guys go, what the fuck happened to Derek?
Apparently, I'm pooping myself, yeah. So I'm ready.
Angela, Asgard's Assassin, number one. But it's the Scotty Young variant that I'm calling out for best on tap because it's fucking awesome cover.
That's pretty cool.
What the fuck happened to Derek?
Yeah, see?
You got fucking weird.
No, I just loved this one because she's on the little rainbow bridge and she's got her little her little suitcase that says Asgard or bust, and there's a GOTG
I like that
sticker on there.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
I looked at that one. I'm like, oh man,
that's cool. I take it no one had a chance to read Angela this week.
I have not yet.
Yeah, I picked it up. I ran short on time this week, but I'm interested because I definitely know Angela from Spawn. I'm big Spawn fan.
It's funny because I've seen a wide variety of prices for first appearance of Angela, which is Spawn number 9, and then also the Angela miniseries. I've seen a big variety of prices from people that still have them in the dollar bins to people that are wanting like between $25 and $45 for Spawn number 9.
Really?
Yeah. People wanting $20 for, you know, the Angela 3-part miniseries. I'm like, what? I don't know if people are just speculating price and trying to, I don't know. But
did
hey.
Did you read the Loki and Thor 10th Realm thing? No. That pretty much explained her origin now in Marvel.
Okay.
And how she's Thor's sister and all that, and then was hidden.
Surprise sister.
Which Thor?
Main Thor. No. Guy Thor.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. Yeah. All right, yeah, let's do a little news and notes. Okay. I will do something that AMC didn't do, and I will keep this news story spoiler free.
Okay.
I was going to be a total dick and say the name, but
okay, so yeah, don't.
Yeah, thank you to me. I will thank you at least.
Yeah, so Kevin, you didn't want to read this because you were afraid.
Yeah. I've saw the article in the headline. I've seen it on all the news hubs I go to, and then the link that you send. But I didn't want to open it because I'm afraid that the article is going to spoil. The article is going to spoil the spoil?
Well, at what point should they be able to talk about it?
Okay, well, here. Let's explain first what happened. Walking Dead aired on the East Coast at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And
Did you see what the read what the article headline says?
Okay.
Sorry.
AMC apologizes to the Walking Dead fans, and this is from comic book
to Deadheads.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Comicbook.com.
Is that what they're called?
No.
No, I think that's
the Grateful Dead
people.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What do people that follow fish? What are they called? Are they just dirty hippies, or do they have a name?
I don't know. You know, I followed fish for a little bit.
Did you?
Well, to two shows.
I went from Ann Arbor to Detroit.
So I'm in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
so AMC, before the show aired on the West Coast, on their social media, put up a picture of...
Okay, social media.
Yeah, put up a picture of one character carrying the dead body of another character saying, R.I.P., character B, you know, I'm not going to say the name so that...
Oof.
Rick and Daryl.
Yeah.
you can figure it out.
Yeah. So, no, it was Shane. They killed Shane.
It was the little boy.
And it was, all right, so...
Lori.
Yeah, it was Lori. That's who it was. Yeah, they killed her. And, but, yeah, so fans that follow, that are, obviously they got to be fans of the show if they're following them on social media, see this with the fucking still image from the show. That was the surprise ending. And so, yeah, so AMC did apologize, saying we're so sorry. Yeah, we screwed
that
up.
That totally makes up for fucking... incompetence. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. yeah, so that was just... that. Be careful, people, with your... be careful with your socials.
Yeah.
Something that is long overdue, more than 10 years overdue. Kingdom Hearts 3 should come out hopefully sometime before I die. And
has it been that long since 2 came out?
Yeah. Like, it's been, yeah, that long.
Jesus.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, they've had so much time to work on this fucking... But maybe the wait is best to paid off later, because they're talking about possibly having Marvel and Star Wars characters within the game. I mean, already having all the Final Fantasy and Disney properties. Well, these are also Disney properties.
Man. Well, if they're already talking about it, then I mean, if they're still talking about including these characters, that probably tells me that they're another year plus away from releasing any sort of game.
That's the thing, too, where it's like, it's probably going to be, especially because Star Wars just got picked up last year, so to include them in the game, yeah, that's still going to be some development.
It's not
that
hard. You just cut and paste. It's like using Word.
True.
This is starting to sound like Duke Nukem all over again.
Yeah.
You have any idea what I'm talking about, Derek?
Duke Nukem?
Yeah.
I remember the game.
Yeah, Duke Nukem Forever.
No.
Yeah, that was supposed to be, like, it was a heavily anticipated sequel to the popular Duke Nukem franchise, and it was put off and put off and put off and put off and put off, and then finally they just released it just to say, fuck, get this game out of here, and it was universally panned.
Yeah.
That's not the case with this.
Well, this will be the closest to the Patton Oswalt Parks and Rec speech of Marvel and Star Wars crossover, blah, 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 that we'll ever get, so I can't wait to play the game.
I just saw this, and this this makes me very excited. I know it will terrify the shit out of some other people, but...
What's with you wanting people to shit their pants today?
All right, well, it maybe they can hold the poop, but maybe they'll pee a little.
Okay. Yeah.
Summer of 2015, principal photography for Stephen King's It starts shooting. I didn't know that they were making the film. That's...
Didn't they already make the film?
They made a TV.
Oh,
made
okay.
For two, yeah. Like a 3 or 4 part series, yeah. Which I don't know how they can... What they're going to do... Oh, actually, I take it back. I'm looking at this article, and I see they're going to make this into 2 separate films, because I was going to say, I don't know how you could do this in one. Honestly, you could make this into 3 or 4 movies. I mean, that page or that book was 1,100 pages long. So, you know, that's... I'm excited, though. That was a terrifying movie, but we'll see what they do with it. Sorry, that one I just dropped on you guys, like,
no, that's,
boom.
That's cool. Who's the studio releasing it?
I don't know. I already closed the article.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
They are. Yeah. Be excellent to one another. Yeah. So, Boom Studios sent out a little teaser.
Which could mean anything.
Well, no, they're pretty good about their teasers. Which, this one was fun, because when I opened our email and saw it, it's like, visual teaser from Boom. And normally it's like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. And this one I just opened, and it's just the logo that says Wild Stallions. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm down for that. So, looks like Bill and Ted's coming back to comic books.
I think it's going to be a good fit for their zany adventures through time and...
Well, and Boom, hell. I think Boom does... Kevin, I don't know if you actually saw the...
No, I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it. Though, I mean, it still could mean anything.
Yep.
Could just mean they just follow the band. No hijinks through time.
that would not be any fun at all.
Hopefully, no. This puts more though light on them making the third film. You know, get it more out there.
Yeah.
Do
you think we'll ever see a third film?
You know, well, I mean, when we talked to Alex Winter here a couple years ago, he said that they, you know, they were working on it, and
wanted to.
Yeah, and, okay. And they had the original other writers involved with it, too. I'm curious if and this is strictly curiosity because I have no word from anyone on this. So, but I'm wondering if perhaps the movie isn't coming out, and they're just going to utilize the comic book to tell that final chapter.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's just something that occurred to me. I'm all in, man. I enjoy those movies.
Yeah. First, Free Comic Book Day was officially announced for 2015, and I'm like,
don't we always know what day it is?
Yeah, it's the first Saturday in May. Always.
It's like up for debate. Like, I don't know. It was okay, so I guess we'll just do it again.
Yeah. But what I'm most excited about, Amanda Connor did the design for the t-shirts.
Okay.
And what I thought was awesome is that this is the first time now that I've seen it. I'm not saying that they didn't have it before, but they might not have. But there's actually a t-shirt cut for girls. Like a girl's like V-neck short sleeve t-shirt.
Good.
And I'm like, about fucking time. You know, I think that's awesome. So, you know, because last time we were looking, I mean, girls were like 48% of the comic book fans. So
sure. I mean, fuck, just go to a convention.
Well, it's shit. Go to the shop downtown here, especially on the weekends.
Oh yeah,
and the girls far outnumber the guys in that shop on the weekends. I don't know about during the week because I, you know,
I go to the week here in town. Yeah, it's even on New Comic Book Day, it's that way. And heck, even half the staff is now females.
Mm-hmm. There's some Batman news out there. A couple Batman news is out there, Tony. You had one that you found.
Yes, I did. Frank Miller and Scott Snyder are planning to write Dark Knight 3 together. Those two books from Miller were just fantastic. And having Snyder on board now with what's been going on will be very interesting. And I can see this definitely having to... I'd almost expect it to come out maybe around the time that the new Batman Superman movie comes out, because kind of within those books they fought, and that's kind of a basis for this new Justice League movie, from things that I hear. So that should be good.
Was there any note in there that you saw as to whether or not either Greg Capullo is going to be doing the art or Frank Miller himself?
Yeah, I was seeing that they want to do multiple issues of it with multiple artists.
Okay.
So Greg would be one of them. Jim Lee was another person that they talked about. They'll write it out and then have each one drawn by someone.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Now that the article finally popped up here, sorry, it was there. I see where they're mentioning it, that they're going to have some other people in there. It's interesting because I'm wondering if this... There's another article that I saw about Mark Silvestri doing a Bat book, but it wasn't announced what he was doing. So I'm wondering if this is what he's doing, or if he's going to have an ongoing series, because, I take it back. This article,
because this flat out says is Batman Monthly.
Yeah, it is monthly. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't. My tablet is being really slow, so my notes aren't popping up quite as fast as they should. Here today, but yeah, so well, he is going to be doing a monthly then, but that's kind of interesting to see. I've always liked Silvestri's work, and I think he does really well with the Caped Heroes, so that could be a very, very pretty book on there. Just I don't know, it's just kind of odd to see, you know, one of the founders of Image going back to DC. I mean, Jim Lee is the same thing, but you know, I get it, but it's just kind of interesting there. There's one other thing we kind of briefly mentioned, but apparently Ryan Reynolds is closing up his deal with Fox to do the Deadpool spinoff.
Yes, so yay!
Well, hopefully they can make a funny script to completely exclude his appearance in that other movie he was in.
Well, he could,
or they break the fourth wall and just make fun of the movie. Like he flat out says, "Yeah, don't see that, or
yeah,
don't think of it." And that would be just even better for his character. to do.
I am curious as to whether or not they will break that fourth wall.
Oh, they have to. They're going to have him say he knows he's in a movie and blah, 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 and just to make it more him.
Will they do it mid-movie or will they do it at the very end as the stinger?
Oh, true.
You know, I don't know. Throw that shit in there for the fans.
Benedict Cumberbun is going to be Doctor Strange.
It's going to be Doctor Strange.
Why don't you just say Khan?
Yeah. Khan. Yeah.
But, yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be Doctor Strange. He's closed up his deal, and that should be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the casting here. Do you think he's going to speak with a more American accent?
I would assume.
People are going to get him confused with Sherlock.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a good cast. Also, Kristen Cufflinks is set to play Jessica. I tried to joke and it didn't work.
No, I was looking to see if you were serious or not.
Yeah. No, Kristen Ritter is cast to play Jessica Jones in the new Netflix series. So that's kind of cool. And then more casting news, which was quite big casting news, is the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, this was quite surprising. Because honestly, I didn't really think much about the Suicide Squad. And if they were going to be able to draw any names to this.
Yeah, well, here's who they announced. Jared Leto as the Joker, Will Smith as Deadshot, Tom Hardy as Rick Flagg, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, Jay Courtney as Boomerang, and Cara Delevingne? I don't know how you pronounce her last name. It's Enchantress. The only one that I'm like, okay, well, there's two. Tom Hardy being in another DC movie just seems weird to me.
Yeah, but his face was covered the whole other time, so.
And he talked. Oh, wait, sorry. And he talked like he wanted to give kids worthers. Yeah, so, I don't know.
I'm okay with that, because, I mean, Chris Evans did it from the Human Torch to
Florida.
Yeah.
Captain America.
The one that I found weird though was what is that?
That's you.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I was sitting hearing this loud noise.
Yeah, no,
was that?
Yeah, you want to do the do?
Yeah,
and you're doing it like someone opening a bag of chips real slowly. You know, good, trying to be all slow and trying to make that.
And then you try to blame it on Kevin.
Well, no, like,
he's, of course, the perker he's looking at. Is,
I thought it was your ass. I'm sorry.
No, you know I own that.
Will Smith as Deadshot is the one where I'm like, that's the one where I'm not sold on it. Because I like Will Smith, but he's one of those people that he just plays Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, you know, it's like...
He's good on Bad Boys, but that's Will Smith.
Yeah. I mean, he's always Will Smith. Sam Jackson isn't Nick Fury. He's just Sam Jackson with an eye patch.
Yeah, but, you know, what's the last thing you've seen Will Smith in?
What's
the thing that he's been in that...
I Am Legend?
Yeah, how long ago was that? That's
like, well, he was on that that one with his kid to another world.
Yeah, but no one watched that movie.
I know.
Nobody saw that.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. No, yeah, I Am Legend, wasn't that like already 6 years ago?
Yeah, and he was Will Smith in it.
Yeah, but...
And I'm not saying that's bad, yeah, but, it's just like...
Yeah, but that was just a generic... To me, that was just like, it could have just... You could have popped anyone in that role. Whereas this, he's going to have to play the character that it was written for, or he's portraying, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in. I'll check... I mean, I'm not going to not check it out, but...
Yeah.
It's just an interesting collection of characters that they have here.
Two last little notes on news. I think this is based on the orders for the first issue, but Marvel's new Star Wars comic is set to sell over 1 million copies.
All right.
So everybody run out and grab one, because with a print run that low, these are going to be worth lots of money. And then the last thing, another Marvel thing, they're doing some college football playoff variant covers, which have nothing to do with football. They're good-looking covers.
It's never a good promotion when you have to explain what the fuck you're looking at. So you have just normal images, but the thing that connects the covers to the National Football College Championship game
is a tiny little logo in the bottom.
Yes, there's that. It says that, but in the upper left-hand corner, it says the word "in."
Yeah,
and it's implying that the Marvel characters want to be in the National Football Championship game, which I'm sure they would have been disqualified because of their superhuman powers. Well, but of course, I don't know what the hell Hawkeye and the Punisher are going to do in a football match.
They're going to kill people. Yeah, but yeah, they are beautiful covers. But anyway, that's it.
Yeah, hey, I really like the covers. They're really sharp. But yeah, you guys look it up. I mean, we found this on Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah.
It's just no real tie-in. But
okay, I've got a we got a. Wrap up here at some point because I'm running out of beer. But I've got Indie Turnpike this week is Penny Dora and the Wishing Box, and this is written by Michael Stock and drawn by our good friend Cena Grace. This is issue 2, and I honestly don't remember. I apologize if this is an ongoing or if this is a short mini series, but. This is pretty cool because Michael Stock's daughter at the age of 8 originally wrote like a little 2-page story or 2 or 3 4-page story, whatever it was, that got published in her little school newspaper. That's the basis for this book. And so this was a issue 1 it really grabbed me. The idea is that this little girl Penny gets a box on Christmas, and when she opens it up, light comes out of it, and it's saying, "What do you wish for? What do you wish for?" And whatever she wishes for comes true. And so here you've got like this little girl who's probably roughly around the age of 8 that has basically the power to do that. That opens up a lot of questions, both for kids and adults, and they do a really nice job in here because, you know, her good friend, her best friend is actually hanging out and spends the night over there. And it was just kind of, I liked what they did in here because the little girl Penny is asleep, but her friend Elizabeth, I believe is her name, is up and she's brushing her teeth and stuff like that. And she'd been hearing the box saying, "What do you wish for? What do you wish for?" And the little girl is like, you know, why do you keep asking that? That's a pretty serious question, you know? And even from a kid's perspective, it's nice to see them address that, yeah, this is a big deal. And they do silly things like, I'm going to spoil part of it, where they want to make sure that this works, and they actually make their cat fly. You know, the cat gets wings, and he's flying around the room, and then they have to unwish it, of course. But
sure.
But yeah, this is a fantastic artwork by Grace in this too. This is the best stuff that I've ever seen from him, and I've been a fan of his for a number of years. But I mean, just absolutely stunning. And I don't know if it's the colors that are really setting it off, or the fact that he's showing a perspective with these characters that I don't know who else could actually do. Work like this. That, I mean, it draws you and it makes you feel like you're there in the story, And, I mean, the reactions and the emotions that are able to be conveyed are amazing. This is obviously a book that's, you know, good for kids to read. And it's also a book that's good for adults to read. I mean, this isn't just an all-ages book. This is the epitome of what all good comic books should be. So go pick this book up. It's fantastic. So
awesome. Booze in the Book this week kind of involves change. Back in 98, a famous brewery called Bell's had to change their flagship beer from Solson to Oberon. And
they just changed the name.
Yeah, just changed the name of the beer because of some legal actions. Well, because of that, that's why we are pairing Oberon with the Autumnlands Tooth and Claw, because that is now the full new title of the book. Because when I love the back page of the first issue, and this one even delves more into other stuff besides the story of the book, and they flat out said, yeah, you may have noticed the title change, legal action, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're now called the Autumnlands Tooth and Claw. So that paired with Oberon because legal action makes them change their names.
That's cool.
Oberon now available in like 28 states now.
Yeah, you didn't like my idea for Booze in a Book.
No, you can use that one for later.
I'm going to use it now though.
Okay.
Just because it's fun. So I while I do like Bell's, I actually like Founders a little bit better, and so I'm going to pair all of the beers at Founders today with Inhuman because. All those beers are going to go in me, and I'm human. So I'm going to go get fucked up today.
That's going to happen the next morning.
Yeah. Last call. I only had one other one that needed a shout-out that you guys haven't already talked about, and that was God Hates Astronauts number 4.
Yeah, I'm just going to quick go back to Tooth and Claw. Fucking amazing colors. The art, it's great. Have you read that one yet?
No. That one's
the story is just going, it's a book that I, unlike any, and it, even like in the first issue, it had like a full page of like prose to set up the scene, and really good.
What's kind of interesting here is last weekend, I think it was, went down to, last weekend, the weekend before, picked up an Elvira comic book for like out of a clearance bin for our buddy Dirk Manning, and didn't notice until later. But that Elvira comic was written by Kurt Busiek, the same guy that's writing this.
Oh wow!
I was like, wait, he wrote an Elvira comic. But anyway, Kevin, did you have anything else this week that you needed to give a nod to?
No, I actually. We've talked actually about all of them during the show, so
okay,
a good over here.
I will give one quick little shout out. I've only just started reading it, but it doesn't.
Oh, you know what? I did miss one. Twilight Zone number 10.
I totally missed that. It wasn't in my poll, and I didn't see it on the shelf.
Yeah, number 10. And thank good 10 came up because I completely forgot about 9.
Shoot, now you, damn it. Anyway.
Yeah. So 9, so 10 came out this week, but go back, pick up 9. That was the start of a new story arc.
Okay. I'm giving this just kind of a preview heads up. It's called Marvelous Mythology, How the World's Greatest Superheroes Were Created by Todd Fry. And this is an actual book.
As opposed to a book,
comic book
movie,
as opposed to a comic
book. I'm not seeing any pictures in there.
Yeah, there's no pictures. But this is basically, you know, kind of a history of Marvel Comics. I've only read, you know, just the first few pages of it, but it's really cool. It's going to come out digitally December 20th, and it will actually, the physical copies like what we've got here will hit stands January 20th. So kind of keep your eyes open for that when it comes up, and as I read more, I might drop some more knowledge bombs on your asses. So
here you go, talking about my butt again.
Well, I've basically just been full of like ass comments and poop comics and terrible jokes today, so it's
another great episode.
Yay! I feel like it's all deja vu. It's like we're right back at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Keep reading your comics. We'll be back next week to talk to you more about them then. See ya.
I hope I recorded this.